Matthew chapter 14 for our scripture reading. We're coming to verse 22. This is the story of Jesus walking on the water. That's what this portion is best known for, the miracle of Christ walking on the water. But beyond that, that's not the only miracle at this time. As we think of Peter also walking on the water, we think of the calming of the waves and the wind. We think of that, the fact that they were, when Christ came to them, immediately at their destination, and all was calm. And so there's more than one miracle here as you read the passage. This event follows the feeding of the 5,000. Christ is the bread of life. In John's account, we have that whole sermon about the bread of life following the feeding of the 5,000 and how we need Christ to feed our hungry souls today. We, like these disciples in the boat, are sometimes lost. We're sinking. We need the Lord to come to us and to minister to us. So as we come to the reading of God's Word, let's just take a moment to pray. We have that catechism question in our bulletin this morning. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help upon the preaching of His Word this morning. Our Father, and our God in heaven, we come to Thee now. We're thankful for this hour of worship. We can sing Your praises. We lift high Your name. We come in humility before Thee and, Lord, acknowledge You are the God we adore. We would worship the Lord together. Help us even in listening to the message now to give attention to the Word of Christ, that as Christ instructs us, so we would not only listen and hear, but we would take that word with us. We would put it into practice in our lives. Lord, You would prepare us for the daily struggles and challenges that we face in a world that is hostile to the things of God. We ask, Lord, that You would equip us, enable us to stand, even as You gave Peter the power to stand. So may we have that holy boldness to step out in faith, trusting our God that even in the dire circumstances, He will hold us up. We bring to Thee, Lord, the suffering saints today. We remember those in our congregation who are mourning. We pray for them. Lord, be near to Richard. Be near to Mr. Reischke. We pray. We ask that You would come alongside and comfort them in their hours of loneliness and quietness. Lord, that You would come and speak words of comfort and peace. Be with those in our congregation, Lord. You know each and every need. I do not know them. I do not know all of them. I know some of them, perhaps. I don't know to what extent Your people are suffering, needing a word from Thee today, and so I pray that You would give a word in season. We're thankful for the confirmation of this word to my heart. You have given me that assurance that this is Your word for today. I pray that the people listening would have that assurance from the Holy Ghost that this is the Lord's word for them, that You would come and minister by Your power today, and even prepare our hearts now for our time at Your table, as we come to remember the wonderful things that Christ has accomplished for sinners like us. So hear our prayer. Bless Your word. Bless the plain reading of Scripture now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 22. And immediately, straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," or a phantom, a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if or since it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 33. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And the title of our message today is "From Wavering to Worship." From wavering to worship. The essential value of this passage of Scripture that we have just read is the comfort and the encouragement it affords obedient Christians who sometimes find themselves in great distress on the stormy sea called life. Due to no fault of their own, I acknowledge that today, I emphasize that, they were in the path of duty and obedience, and yet the storm came. But also from this passage, we can see not only the comfort and encouragement Christ gives to weak and obedient disciples, but we also see something of his sovereignty, Christ's dominion over all. And that's such an important part of this passage, because we know in times of trouble and trial, we forget that. We lose sight of that fact. Our God is in power. He has dominion over all creation, over all created things, over the elements of nature and in the lives of men. And the Lord Jesus here demonstrates his deity, his sovereignty over all, as he comes to his disciples in this miraculous, supernatural way, walking on the water. A demonstration of his sovereign power over all things. That's so important to us, especially as we find ourselves in the storm, as we find ourselves tossed to and fro by the circumstances of life that we encounter, the troubles that come upon us. And they can come, they do come, as they did in this occasion. They come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. They can come in an evening. The darkness can come in very, very quickly. even as you walk in the path of obedience and duty. They were in the place Christ wanted them to be. They were following the word of Christ, the command of Christ. In fact, it says in the beginning of our reading there, verse 22, he constrained his disciples. He forced them, he urged them, he commanded them to get into the boat. You see, the crowd there, after the feeding of the 5,000, they were intent on making Christ a king. They were going to set up their earthly kingdom. They wanted him, the Messiah, to be the one who would come and reign in their midst. And they wanted to take Christ by force and make him a king. And Christ probably, seeing the susceptibility of the disciples to go along with that thought, the thought of the multitude, he sends them away so that he in turn could send the multitude away and then have some time alone with his heavenly Father. But it was Christ who constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to cross over to the other side. And they obeyed. They went. And now, in light of their obedience, they find themselves in the storm, tossed off course. And that wind, those waves, had carried them not from the shore now, out into the midst of the sea. This journey was a 4-mile journey, but they had been rowing and toiling for some time, for hours. And they worked and they labored until Christ came to them. Troubles can come suddenly as you walk in the path of obedience and duty. But keep this in mind. Whatever your trouble, Jesus is still in control. That's the point here in this message. He has dominion over all. All is under his control. He is sovereign. We're not to forget that when trying circumstances come. He may allow saints to face storms, but he is there. He's watching. He's in the mount praying. He's making intercession for you. He's working behind the scenes. And though you may not see him, and this is another miracle, Christ could see them. Though it was dark at this point, foggy perhaps. They were in the midst of the sea, out so far from the shore. How could Christ see them? Well, he sees and he knows all things. And he was praying for them. He was watching and working. And in our times of deep distress, he makes himself known, just as is the case here. He comes to our relief. He brings us through for his honor. And he brings us from doubting and wavering to the place of worship and acknowledging again his greatness and his power and falling at his feet, adoring him. Truly, thou art the Son of God. I wonder, friend here today, do you ever feel like you're sinking? Do you ever feel like you're spinning your wheels and going nowhere? Or as we use the picture here, that analogy of rowing your boat against the waves and the winds, but you're going nowhere? And you can imagine the hours of work involved in that. They were spent. It is dark now. Evening has come. The hours of rowing against the waves and the wind, they were spent. They were exhausted. I'm sure they were cold and they were numb. Have you ever felt like that? Cold in heart and numb and exhausted and sinking? Maybe they were tempted to turn back. Do you ever feel like turning back and giving up? Is the darkness moving in upon you? Well, if that is the case, this is a word, I believe, for you today. Those of you who perhaps are in the storm presently, right now, this is a word for your encouragement and for your comfort. Those of you who may not be in the storm, but this is also a word for you that you would be prepared for when it does come. because it will come. You never know when it can come, suddenly or unexpectedly. What are we to do? Well, we turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. In your distress, fix your eyes upon Jesus. We know this story so well. Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off Christ. And we too begin to sink when we look around at our circumstances and focus on them rather than focusing on Christ. And we must continually look to the author and finisher. We must continue to look to Christ, the one who comes alongside to whisper in our ear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. I will be with you. That's the word of Christ to our hearts today. But I want you to see that a view of Christ's power fills the believing heart with awe and reverence, with holy fear. A view of Christ's power. That's what will encourage you as you come again to look to Christ, to consider Him. It encourages the troubled soul in time of distress. The hymn writer asked the question, who can cheer the heart like Jesus by His presence all divine? Nothing cheers the heart like the authoritative word and divine presence of Jesus, and seeing Him, that view of His omnipotence, of His omniscience, of who He is, that view of Christ's power fills the believing heart with love and awe and reverence. As He comes and He says to you, take courage. It is I. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. I'm the one who will sustain you. I'm the one who saves you. I'm the one who will support you. I'm here. I'm watching. I'm working. I'm here. Take courage. Seeing Christ walk on water, Peter was encouraged. He was encouraged to step out in faith. Maybe it was out of sheer panic. The boat was filling up. The wind was blowing, the waves were coming upon them. And maybe he thought, the better place to be is with Christ. I'm getting out of this boat, and I'm going to go to Jesus. But seeing Christ walk on the water encouraged Peter to step out in faith. None of the others display such faith. He did something incredible, something he probably thought impossible. With his trust in Jesus, he's able to accomplish the unimaginable. And Christ can give us that enabling power as we look to Him for strength. He gives us the enabling power to step out and do things for Him that we never thought we could do in our own strength, according to our own ability. And you watch these disciples here, they go from, you track the story, they go from fear to faith, and back to fear and seeing Christ walking on the water, and then to faith again. And you could say they go from wondering and wavering to worry and doubt. What's going to happen? Are we going to sink? To wavering and then to true worship. And you see that order. You see their circumstances. You see what they're going through. And it's just like a synopsis, a summary of daily life. These feelings, these thoughts, these emotions come to our mind. And this is how it goes with us too, is it not? What a picture of general, everyday experience in this one portion, in these few verses. How often we go from faith to fear and back to faith again. We doubt, we trust, we doubt. We're tossed to and fro. We wonder what's going to happen. We worry and we waver. And the Lord has to bring us back to the place of true worship, see who He is. Truly, Thou art the Son of God. He's in control. So you watch them. They go from confusion to confession, from wavering to true worship. And that's how it is with us often as well. But you know, this passage not only speaks to the reality of trials in the Christian experience, but we see something of the relationship that exists between Christ and His disciples. Oh, how He loves us. Even when we don't sense His presence or feel His love or see His power, He still loves us. He's still watching. He is still working. It's a secure relationship. Even though perhaps you feel like you're sinking today and you're going through the storm, you are secure in the hand of Christ. And you need to remember that. Jesus never lost sight of these disciples in the storm. He didn't leave them to perish. He came to them, and He ministered to them, and He helped them. And you see throughout all this how their faith is revealed by their obedience to the Lord, to His command. They undertake the journey to cross the lake because Christ told them to. You have that example of their faith, their obedience there. It's the outworking of their faith, their obedience to Christ. He compelled them and they go. And you see it also in Peter as he sees Jesus coming, walking on the water. And he says, Lord, since it is You, Lord, bid me, command me to come to You. And Jesus said, come. And there again you have that obedience as Peter steps out. Their faith is revealed and you see it there. Obedient faith believes God, steps out on His word. Peter waits for the command of Christ. It's interesting. Since it is You, Lord, command me, give me that word. Because there was a sense of utter dependence on the Lord. Unless the Lord gives me that word, I know that I will sink. Unless the word, the Lord commands me, and I have that assurance of His continued support, I will not step out. And he stepped out at the word of God. And believer, your faith is revealed by your obedience to the commands of God. And we know that without a sense of God's continued support and abiding presence, we begin to sink. And the word there is to plunge down. We're going down. We're going down fast. If we don't have a sense of the Lord's presence, we're sinking. And we feel ourselves to be perishing. That's the word. So fast. Seeing the waves boisterous, we begin to sink as we take our eyes off the Lord. But there's obedience here. There's faith here. And you have to realize, believer, maybe you think the suffering that you are going through now is the result of some personal sin, some disobedience because of your unbelief. Sometimes that is the case. We bring a lot of difficulty and trouble upon ourselves because of our sinful desires and actions, and we find ourselves in trouble. But that's not the case here. See that. They're in the place of obedience. They're doing the right thing. They're obeying the word of Christ. They're going about their business, and the storm comes. Not all suffering is a result of personal sin and disobedience. But their faith is revealed by their obedience. But we also know that faith is tested in the storm. Faith is tested in the storm. Faith comes under trial. Why does the Lord allow that to happen? You ever wonder why the Lord allows trials to come? We read in the New Testament, the trying of your faith works. It worketh patience, endurance. Builds character, dependence on the Lord. It makes you more prayerful. It makes you turn to the Lord. There are many reasons why the Lord allows trials to come. Faith comes under trial, but as you are tested, as you find yourself in the storm, in the crucible, faith is tested to see whether it's genuine or not, first of all. Will you continue to trust even though things don't always go your way? Or when things don't work out as you planned or expected? Will you trust God even though things don't happen according to your time schedule, according to your plan? You notice here that they toiled all night into the fourth watch of the night. You know what time it is? So evening has come. The Lord dismisses his disciples. He constrains them to get into the boat. He sends the multitude away, goes up into the mountain to pray. Here they are rowing. They're carried out into the middle of the sea. And now it's the fourth watch of the night. It's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. They've been there for hours. They were toiling. They were rowing. They were way off course. Their vessel is carried into the midst of the sea. And no doubt they're exhausted from a night of battling the elements. And then Jesus comes to them. Why did he wait so long? If he was there, you read the other accounts in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. Why did Jesus wait so long? Why did he not come to them immediately when he saw them in need, in peril? Why did he not come? Why did he allow them to struggle so much? Doesn't it bring to mind the story of Lazarus? Remember the situation there in John chapter 11 where we read Lazarus was sick. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You turn to John chapter 11, look at those words. There's that confirmation of his love. If that is the case, why did he wait so long? John chapter 11, it says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But the word came to Christ. Verse 3, they sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And then verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Why did he wait so long? Why did he not come immediately? Sometimes we think the same thing. But we have the answer there, that the glory of God might be on display, that the Son of God might be glorified. Sometimes the Lord allows these things to come our way in order to test us yet, but also to show his glorious power by the outcome. He delayed his coming. Lord, if you had only been here, this would not have happened. Why did you allow this to happen? But I want you to see the relationship here, not only in John 11, the love that Christ has for Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but look at the love and the relationship between his disciples here in our chapter. Is it not comforting to know in the storms of life, and again, we track the story. These are very simple points that we pull out of the passage. Jesus sees us. He watches over us, even in the deep darkness, even in our distress. He sees, he's omniscient, he knows. That's a comfort. Jesus prays for us. What was he doing in the mountain there? He was praying with his Heavenly Father. He was maintaining that communion with his Heavenly Father. But as we know from John 17, he prays for others. He prays for his disciples. He prays for his church. He prays for us. And that's a comfort when our faith is tested. And then Jesus is moved for us. He is compassionate. He's a wonderful, merciful Savior. We're singing that this morning. He's moved with a heart of compassion for us, and He comes to us in our hour of need. He will come to our aid, never too soon, never a moment too late. His timing is perfect, even if it is the fourth watch of the night. As for God, His way is perfect. He sees us. He prays for us. He's moved for us. He displays His power. He comes to us. He comes alongside us, even as He came, walking on the water here, showing His power again to these disciples. And then He speaks a word of encouragement. Jesus encourages us by speaking words of comfort. He gives us courage to endure and to suffer even in the most difficult trials. Have courage. Take heart. Don't be afraid. It is I am here. I'm here to minister to you. Not only does He encourage us, but He empowers us. As He empowered Peter, He enabled Peter to do that which is fearful and unimaginable. Never would we think of doing it. Sometimes there are those things that we are afraid of doing. We have our own fears, and yet the Lord gives us the ability, the power, the strength to do that. And beyond that, you see here, Jesus takes delight in the faith of the saints. Weak as that faith may be at times, He takes delight in the faith of the saints. Weak and faltering as it may be, still He delights in it. And Jesus lifts us up when we sink in despair. We're going to sing the closing hymn, "Love Lifted Me." I was sinking deep in sin. Love lifted me. As Peter turns to the Lord there, it's interesting. It says in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, forceful, it was opposing him. He was afraid. He began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, that's a word that appears here, straightway, immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand. Jesus responds to our needs. He sees us in our need. He prays for us. He comes to us. He encourages us. He empowers us. He responds to us in our needs. He's a merciful, compassionate Savior. And friend, today He sees your trouble. He's praying for you even now. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He comes in His word to speak to you, to speak words of peace and comfort and assurance. He lifts you up when you fall. He places us in the boat again safely, and He takes us on our way to the other side through the storm. And though we fall, we are not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with His hand. Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. He didn't have to do that. He could have said the word, "Be still," as on other occasions. He could have given the command and all would be well. But He didn't do that. Jesus stretched forth His hands. Those are significant words. Wonderful words. What a picture we have here. The Lord Jesus, I believe it was J.C. Ryle who said, he wanted Peter not only to experience His power, but to feel His love. And the Lord Jesus wants us not only to experience His power and see His mighty works, but to feel and to experience and to know His love. Immediately He stretched forth His hand, and He caught him. He touched him. He rescued him. We can know something of God's power Oswald Saunders said, if Jesus bids us to come to him on water in some crisis experience, his command will always carry the enabling with it. When he commands the seeming impossible, he will give more than natural wisdom and power to achieve it. When the Lord asks us to do something for him, when he calls us to his service, he also gives us the enabling grace and power to do what we think we cannot do. He equips us so we can see something of his power. We need to know that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But not only do we need to feel his power, we need to know and to feel his love. And I think you see that here with the compassion Christ shows to his disciples. So you have their faith revealed by their obedience. You have faith that is tried, but then you have the triumph of faith or the confirmation of their faith. Their faith is confirmed as they come to the end of this passage and to the end of their journey. They're on their face before God saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. He deserves our rightful worship and adoration in prayer and in praise. I was preparing for this message, just wondering if this was the message for today, and I opened the checkbook of the Bank of Faith, and C.H. Spurgeon had this word this morning for me, and so for you too. December 6th. C.H. Spurgeon talking about Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire, through the flame. He said this, tried we must be, triumphant we shall be. For Jehovah himself, who is mightier than many waters, shall be with us. Whenever else he may be away from his people, the Lord will surely be with them in difficulties and dangers. The sorrows of life may rise to an extraordinary height, but the Lord is equal to every occasion. Tried we might be, tried we may be, but triumphant we shall be as we trust in Christ. Whatever difficulties and dangers we feel, we face, it is most often then we sense more so his presence with us. Christ, the Son of God, is mighty to save. We read those wonderful words in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Christ, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. The triumph of faith. As we trust in Christ, we will be saved to the uttermost, brought through for the glory of God. And so I leave you with some important lessons. I've been speaking here mostly to believers, to saints who may be suffering. But there's a word here also for those who are yet in their sin. And there are important lessons that we must keep in mind, because the reality is we are all sinking. We are all sinking. By nature, we are perishing. We are sinking in sin. And sometimes the world has a very negative influence upon our lives, just as Peter, as he looked around at the circumstances in his world, it had a negative influence upon his life. And sometimes when we're sinking in sin, we're looking for answers. We try this and we try that. We look to the world. We look for satisfaction, for peace, for joy, for comfort. And how many people are looking to the world for that which it cannot give? It doesn't have the answer. Friend, unless Christ come and rescue you and reach out his hand and lift you up, you will perish.
But know this, as soon as we call upon the Lord, He is there to save immediately. When Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," Jesus stretched forth His hand. He's able to save you today to the uttermost. He comes to rescue sinking sinners. And those saved worship Christ, the Son of God, with their life. He gives us a new heart, a new desire. And Jesus brings us from fear, from condemning fear, the fear of death, the fear of judgment, the fear of perishing eternally, to faith in Jesus Christ, to reverence, to worship Jesus, the Son of God, so that we can now say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not perishing. He's rescued us by His mercy. He has reached us. There's none like Him. Even the elements obey Him. The wind and the waves are still at His command. He is still in control. He is still a wonderful, merciful Savior, able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. Friend, today outside of Christ, here is a word for you. He's a Savior of sinners. Saint, do we not find that often in the hour of greatest heartache, we find Jesus in the shadows, in the storms? He's there. And He comes to our aid. He comes to lift us up. He comes to rescue us. In the direst of circumstances, God, in His mercy, holds up His people. He comes to make Himself known. And Peter's experience was like that of the psalmist when he said, "My feet are slipping. When my feet slip, O God, You in Your mercy, You hold me up. You must hold me up." Is that view of Christ's saving and sustaining power that fills the believing heart with awe, with reverence, with worship, that causes us to shout out with the disciples, "Jesus is Lord. Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." As we see the power of Christ to save, to restore, to uphold, we step out in faith. We get out of our comfort zone. And we step out on the water with Jesus, trusting Jesus' power to save us and to uphold us. And Peter did something he never could have imagined himself doing. Maybe the Lord is calling you to some work and you're fearful and you don't think you can do it. You don't have the ability, the strength, the power. I've been there. But that fear must be replaced with a fear of God and obedience to His will. If I do not follow the Lord in obedience, it will be disaster. I must follow the Lord no matter what. By the power of God, Peter was able to do what he thought was impossible. And maybe today the Lord is calling someone here not only to salvation but to His service, to do something you never thought or imagined you could ever do. Step out today. The Lord delights in the faith of the saints, weak and faltering as it may be. He's the object of our faith. We're trusting in Him. Look to Jesus. Whatever you're facing, look to Him today. You can go from wavering to worship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless Your word now. Use it as You see fit, Lord. Help us as we continue in Your presence As we come before your table, Lord, still our hearts with worship and reverence as we consider our own unworthiness, as we examine our souls, as we examine our needs and see that Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. It's only by His grace we will stand, we live, we will enter into that glorious haven of rest which He has prepared for those who love Him and know Him. So bless your word today. Use it to the salvation of souls, the building up of your church, the edification of your people, the restoration of the wanderer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.